This is a week of prayer for the Assemblies of God. We're going to be participating. This week, actually on Thursday night, those from Malaga Assembly are coming here to join us in a special time of prayer. This entire week will have a certain focus to pray for. Everyone in our church, I want to participate in this special week of prayer. This morning, I'm going to be speaking on prayer and really trying to answer some questions and encourage us this morning to pray. Listen, if we don't actually do it, we're wasting our time, though. We can talk about prayer. In fact, on the back of your bulletin, there's a lot of neat quotes that I came across that read those throughout the week, and hopefully they'll just encourage you. One of them says something about prayer is one of the most talked about things, and yet one of those things that really don't get done, doesn't get done too often. Well, I want us to be a church of prayer. Prayer changes things. The Spirit of God changes things. Good works don't do a whole lot. Good preaching doesn't do a whole lot, to be honest with you. Good music, it doesn't do a whole lot. Even if we get excited in here, it doesn't change the world. The anointing of God through prayer changes the world. And it changes us. And with prayer, preaching changes us. With prayer, worship time changes us. But we need to make sure we're people of prayer. Several years ago, there was a young man looking for work. So he approached the foreman of a logging crew and he asked him for a job. The foreman said, "It depends. Let's see if you can take this tree down." So the young man stood forward. He grabbed his axe, got his arms ready, lined up, started swinging. That tree dropped faster than the foreman has ever seen any other tree drop. He said, "This is amazing. You can start work on Monday." Monday came. And Tuesday and Wednesday rolled by. Thursday afternoon, the foreman approached the young man and he said, "You can pick up your paycheck on the way out today." The young man said, I thought you paid on Fridays." And the foreman says, "Yeah, normally we do, but we're letting you go because you've fallen behind in production. On our daily charts, we've seen that you've dropped off from first place on Monday to last place on Wednesday." "I'm a hard worker," the young man said. "I arrive first, I leave last, I even work through my coffee breaks." The foreman saw that the young man's heart was bothered, and because of his integrity, he thought for a minute, and the foreman said, "Have you been sharpening your axe?" And the young man replied, "No, sir. I've been working too hard to take the time to sharpen my axe." What was the problem? The problem was his axe was dull. It worked well on Monday morning. On Tuesday, after 100 trees, it wasn't quite as good. On Wednesday, after another 100 trees on that same blade, it was dull. By Thursday, he's getting fired. After, let's just say, 350 trees, he probably couldn't tell which side of his axe was the sharp side anymore. The problem was he wouldn't take the time to sharpen his axe. Listen, in our lives, we need to be sharp for the Lord, don't we? We need to stay sharp for the Lord. It's not going to happen by default. The Lord doesn't want us just to go through life and continually swing our axe, if you will, whatever that is, put our hand towards doing things for Him and trying to live right and trying to stay out of sin and keeping our New Year's resolutions. I'm going to lose weight this year. I'm going to get in my Bible. I'm going to read it every day. I'm going to do my devotions every day, which, side note, the God's Word for today that we've been doing, I love that thing. I've been doing it. Listen, if you haven't been doing it, get back to it. It's a great devotional that we invested in as a church to bless you. Get into it. That's a resolution you can keep this year. But listen, we need to stay sharp. We need to stay sharp. What sharpens us? Guess. I already told you where we were going. It was pretty good. Prayer sharpens us. You understand, we're not effective if we don't have prayer in our lives. Whatever obstacle we come across, you ever feel like you're beating your head against a brick wall? And the obstacles in life are never leaving. They're never getting out of the way. Prayer is what changes that. Prayer is what changes that. If you have a big old wall in your life, we can headbutt it all we want. We're never going to get through. But through prayer and the power of the Spirit of God, we'll be taking slices out of that thing. Amen? And we don't just have to guess where to swing. The Holy Spirit directs us and says, here's the weak spot, right down here. And I think we grab the club and Jesus takes His hand behind us and comes up behind us like a little kid learning how to swing a baseball. Jesus wraps His arms around it, makes us think we're doing it with our little hands. And He comes up, I got you. Boom! And begins to break down barriers in our lives. Prayer is what changes things. We need to stay sharp. We need to stay sharp. If you're taking notes today, you don't have any blanks, but in your bulletin there's space. You can write down some things this morning. We're going to go fast. Amen. Open up your Bibles to Ephesians 6. We have a lot of scripture, a lot of truth, so I have a PowerPoint here going to help you with some notes, and we're going to cruise through a lot of things this morning. So get ready. Ephesians 6, verse 10. If you have it in one of our paperback Bibles, can you give me a page number? What do you got, Bill?
898.
Page 898, if you have one of our blue Bibles in the back. 898. We're at Ephesians 6, verse 10. The interesting thing about the axe is the more we work, the dollar we get. The same thing is true with cutting trees. Listen, it's true with our lives. It's true with our spiritual lives. The harder we work, the dollar we get, the more we need to sharpen through prayer. Ephesians 6, verse 10. This is the armor of God passage. It says, a final word, be strong in the Lord and His mighty power. Put on half of God's armor. Huh? No, you guys got to stay with me. Come on. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against the strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Wow. Let's just highlight those three things. We're not fighting against flesh and blood. Against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world. Listen, there's a spiritual reality. Right? Amen. We tend to forget that because we can't see it. Listen, the forces of evil are real. We need to make sure we're people of prayer. Now, we're not going to spend time looking for demons under every rock, but let me tell you, they're real. And we need to get into the Word of God. Against mighty powers of this dark world. Against evil spirits in the heavenly places. This is important stuff. I hope that grips us. Satan doesn't want us to get sharp. The devil wants us weak. He wants us whacking against obstacles with our own force and not getting anywhere, giving up, feeling beaten, and throwing down the axe and going on with our lives. That's what he wants from us this morning. We need to be ready. We need to be people who are sharp. Because of that, Paul says, verse 13, put on every piece of God's armor so you will be able to resist the enemy in times of evil. Then after the battle, you will be standing firm. Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. Oh, we need truth. He says, truth holds everything together, which is we get that from the Word. Truth of who we are in Christ, right? Truth that He will never leave us or forsake us. Truth that we can do all things. We're more than conquerors through Christ's name. Truth holds everything together. That's the belt. the body armor of God's righteousness. Oh, when we're right with Christ, the devil can hurl things at us and we're protected. We have body armor because of the righteousness we have in Him. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news so that you will be fully prepared. In addition to all these things, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Who's shooting at us? Devil. So what do we use? The shield of faith. How do we get faith? What's that? Prayer's good. The Word, right. The Word is explicit. The Word says we get faith from hearing the Word of God. You're right. Prayer is good. Worship's good. Listening to preaching tapes are good. The Word, getting into the Word, is what gives us faith. If your faith isn't very strong this year, I want to encourage you, you need to get into the Word. You need to. That is what will strengthen your faith. Other things are great. Putting on your iPod with good stuff, it's good. But listen, it's honestly the Word. When we get into it, when we read it with our eyes, it touches our heart and our spirit, and it comes alive and changes us. For those of us here today, if we have trouble reading and comprehending, I want to encourage you to get an easy translation to read. The ones in the back, the one I'm preaching from today, I like it. I think it's pretty easy. If that's difficult for you, listen, there's other translations. If your reading is to a point where you have trouble with this, you can get the Bible on CD, on cassette tape. Talk to me. I have some stuff I could even give you. Listen, we need to get it into our heart. And in this day and age, there's really no excuse. We can get it into our hearts regardless. Put on salvation as your helmet. And take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word. The Word is important. What's our only offensive weapon? The Word. The Word. You understand, if we're people without the Word, we have no offense. Right? Have you seen the Eagles play this year? Honest. We're just getting real. Yeah, we should. But we had no offense. We had no offense. How many times do you storm down the field and you're in the red zone and you can't put the ball in the goal line? We had no offense. We could talk forever of the reasons, but the bottom line is you're never going to win if you can't get the ball across the goal. Right? Let's not lose our offensive weapon. But listen, the armor of God isn't done yet. We have another verse that a lot of people take out of the armor of God list. Let's read the next verse. Pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. How powerful is prayer? How powerful is it? How much of a difference does it make? Let's even read the next verse. Paul says, and pray for me too. Wait a second. This is the Apostle Paul. He saw Jesus come in. Jesus made him blind. He fell on the ground. Numerous times in his life, Jesus appeared to Paul and spoke to him. Paul wrote this. He wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. And Paul says, I need your prayers. Wait a second. Doesn't that speak of the power of prayer to you? I don't know about you, but I don't think I could live a life like the Apostle Paul. Come on. He said, I was beaten. I was shipwrecked. He still stood for Christ. I preached a message a few months ago. Something to the effect of, I think every point was, get back up. Remember? They took him outside of the city. They stoned him to death because he was preaching Christ. They thought he was dead. And Paul got back up and walked back into the city and preached there several more times. This was a man after God's own heart. Yet he said, pray for me too. Ask God to give me the right words so I can boldly explain God's mysteries, His mysterious plan and good news for the Jews and Gentiles alike. The guy who wrote the Bible said, I don't have the words. Doesn't that astound you? He says, I'm not going to get it right unless God gives me the words. Pray. I need your prayers. Listen, we need to be people of prayer. The first thing, prayer sharpens us. It does sharpen us. I know that I've said that. We need God's power. Prayer is part of the armor of God. Prayer is part of the armor. Let's not leave praying in the Spirit alone. We need to pray. The limitless power of God is at our disposal through prayer. Ephesians 3:20 is basically Pastor Sabella's prayer after every service at Malaga Assembly. I always forgot it, so let's try it today if you remember. He would say, "Now to Him who is able..." Yes. All right, let's try that again. "To Him who is able to do exceedingly more than we can imagine, to Him be glory forever and ever." Amen. Yeah. To Him who's able to do all this stuff more than we can even comprehend, more than we can imagine, God is able to do. Sometimes we think we want Him to do what we ask. He's able to do more than we can even imagine. His limitless power is at our disposal through prayer. Through prayer. Listen, apart from prayer, it's not. The Holy Spirit also helps us to pray. Romans 8:26 says, "The Holy Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. For we don't know what God wants us to pray for, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. And the Father who knows all hearts knows what the Spirit is saying, for the Spirit leads us believers in harmony with God's own will." Paul is speaking here of praying in the Spirit. And we've talked about that before, of praying in the gift of tongues, as it says in the New Testament. That when the Spirit of God comes upon us, that we get a prayer language. It just happens. It bypasses our mind because we have no idea what we're saying. But it said in the next verse, the Spirit of God knows. What's the big picture? The big picture is, let's get real with God. You understand? The Lord doesn't want our "now I lay me down to sleep" prayers. I do that with my daughter. At our parts, at this point in all of our lives, who's not in that back room, we need to have prayers that go beyond our human vocabulary even. Prayers that get down into our hearts, you understand? We're broken before God. We're crying out. Our spirit is touching His spirit. And it's real. And that's when the power of God works in our lives. I'm just talking about getting real. Are we here this morning? You know what I'm saying? That it's not, "God bless everybody. Amen." It's more like this. "God, I need You. That I don't know where I'm going." Or maybe it's like this. "God, heal my aunt of this cancer. The doctors say there's no hope, but You know." And you're just praying and you're crying out within your gut, within your heart of hearts, "It's You and the Lord." That's what we're talking about today. We're talking about praying with spirit and with passion. And that's when the Lord sharpens us and He changes us. The Holy Spirit will help us. The prayer of the righteous man is powerful and effective. We quote this verse a lot. James 5:14, "Are any of you sick? Call for the elders of the church to come and pray over you, anointing you with oil in the name of the Lord." That's why we do that. "Such a prayer offered in faith will heal the sick and make you well. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you might be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results." When we're righteous, our prayers work a whole lot better, don't they? We need to stay sharp. That man should have sharpened his axe every day. I'm not a lumberjack, but I'm thinking several times a day. Right? Several times a day. You cut down 20 trees, you're probably getting dull. But if you were to sharpen your axe, is it easier to sharpen it after 20 trees or 120? After 20. It even takes less time, don't it? More efficient. Couple of swipes on the sharpening stone, you're back in action. In the same thing in our lives, if we're praying to the Lord without ceasing, as Paul says, we're praying several times a day. We're going through life. Maybe somebody made us mad at the post office. We're getting in the car and we're like, Lord, help me. I need you as I go to this next place today. And spend time with the Lord, and He sharpens us. If somebody takes the shine off of our axe, He sharpens us. If we wait a whole week, we're as dull can be. And we're praying and we feel like the Lord isn't answering our prayers, and He is. He hears us, but we're so dull, we're not even sensitive anymore to His Spirit. And it takes a long time to sharpen. Listen, we need to stay in His presence. We need to stay sharp. Pray without ceasing. Does that mean every minute of the day you're like, oh Lord, blessed be your name? Probably not. But we need to pray more often. There's a little frog in the Costa Rican jungle. He's called the tomato frog. Tomato frog, if you want to call him that. He's red like a tomato. He has this unique defense mechanism. Okay? Once he's attacked, he lets out this deadly milky white poison all over his body. The attacking animal bites into the frog, it tastes the poison, spits it out of his mouth. Unfortunately, by the time the predator spits out the frog dies anyway. The problem is, it's not that his poison isn't effective, it is effective. The problem is, it's just too late. See, the poison doesn't keep the frog safe. It's only activated after the damage is done. After he's already bitten. After he's on his way towards death. It comes out. So many times in our lives, we do the same thing. We're to be plugged into Jesus, and yet when we're attacked, that's the time that we begin to release the anti-venom. Our defense mechanism of prayer comes out when we're being bombarded by the enemy. Sometimes it's too late. You understand? That we're already being attacked and attacked and attacked, and then we begin to cry out to the Lord, and by that time we're already taking blows. Wouldn't it be better if our lives were a sweet fragrance unto the Lord, as you read in Leviticus, the sacrifices over and over again, a sweet aroma unto the Lord. What if our lives were like that? Our prayer of sacrifice of praise and prayer was brought before the Lord, and we're just a sweet aroma to God, if you get the picture. Our defense mechanism is flowing, and the devil wants to come and attack us. Maybe we wouldn't get attacked. Maybe we would be able to stand that a little bit better. Maybe we can endure the battle. In fact, I would say we could. But if we wait until we're crushed, if we wait until we're beaten down and we're broken and we feel dead spiritually to begin to pray, we're no better than the frog. And after the battle, we're crippled and wounded instead of being okay. Let's be people who pray and seek the Lord and stay sharp. 2 Chronicles 7 said, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sins and restore their land. Write that scripture down, 2 Chronicles 7:14. That's a great prayer scripture to hang on to this week. 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, would we say we're people of God this morning? Who are called by my name. What's the name? The name of Jesus, right? In fact, what's Christian mean? It means little Christ. Those who are following after Christ. If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves, humble ourselves. What? Here's the picture. That's the picture. The picture is kneeling before Almighty God. Humble ourselves. What does that do? That puts us where we belong, and it exalts Christ to where He belongs. He is the provider. He is the one who loves us, who wants to take care of us. Listen, He is the one who can set us free from whatever bondage the enemy puts in our lives. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, seek my face, how long does it take to seek? Is the word seek a quick term? Yeah? What's that? It depends. When I think of the words, we know the Lord is there. I know the Lord is always there. But when I think of the word seek, new movie allegory, Pirates of the Caribbean 3. In that movie, they got a map. They were seeking to find Captain Jack Sparrow and everything else they were trying. How long did it take? It took them a long time. If you've seen the movie, they went everywhere. Everywhere. Working hard to get to the prize. Jesus said that if a man walks across a field and he finds a big pearl, what does he do? He trips, poof, there's this giant pearl. It's worth a lot of money. Innumerable amounts of money there. What does that person do? Jesus said he covers it back up. He runs to the town and he says, that hunk of land over there you got, you know, nobody wants. Feeling hospitable. Maybe I'll take it off your hands. How much you want for it? He says he'll open up his wallet. And here you go. And he'll buy that hunk of land. Come back, dig up that prized possession, that treasure, and hang on to it and cherish it because he knows how much it's worth. I think our problem today is when we seek God for just a few seconds. I don't mean us, I mean as a church overall. That when we seek God, it doesn't sound like people who really, really, really need the presence of God. Who are like, I am on a quest to get into the presence of Almighty God, and I will do whatever it takes to get there. If it means I have to, actually in the parable, Jesus said that man sold all he had and bought the field. If I have to sell out everything, I will sell it out for Christ. You understand? I'll take everything and give it to Him. My people will seek my face. When we're close with God and we call out upon His name, listen, He's there. That doesn't mean we don't have to seek Him more. You understand? Seeking Him means listening to Him. It means spending time with Him and we grow. We need to seek Him, to seek His face. That implies getting to know what He really, really, really wants. Intimate knowledge. Not just who God is in a dictionary reference, you know, as the world would define Him. Or God is the ultimate creator, the great I am, revealed in three persons. You know, that's good. But really seek Him. Who is He? What does He want in my life? If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, seek my face, He says. Seek His face. Moses only got to see the back of God. He says, seek my face. Get to know me intimately. Seek my face. Humble themselves. Seek my face. I thought that's what it was. I didn't want to miss a line. And turn from their wicked ways. Repent. Right? Stuff we know we need to get rid of. If my people who are called by my name will get rid of the garbage. We need to get rid of the garbage. As Christians, we can have garbage. Right? As believers, we can have stuff that's just not good. He says, if my people called by my name will humble themselves, pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways. He says, then I will hear from heaven. Jesus is saying, then I get the clearance from Father God. I will heal their sins. Forgive their sins and heal their land. Then the Lord forgives. He heals our land. Financial, what is land? Our jobs, our family, right? The places where we really need the Lord. He said, seek me for real. Seek me for real. Get rid of stuff. Humble yourselves. Remember, I'm up here and you're down here. And if we do that, He'll work in our lives. What's the flip side? If we don't do that, I don't know. I don't know that He won't work in your life. God is sovereign. But I do know that if we honor Him and do those things, He will work in our lives. It's a promise from the Lord. Hallelujah. The Lord is good. That's all we're going to do today. Next week, we have a guest speaker. So the following week, I think I'll finish some more on prayer. Listen, this is the week of prayer. We need to spend time with the Lord as our church. I'm going to give you a bookmark. Every day, there's a prayer emphasis. I want to encourage you, spend time with the Lord. How much time do we need to spend? Take 5 minutes. Listen. Take 5 minutes with the Lord. You guys go. Yes. Take 5 minutes with the Lord. You're welcome. What's that? I bought these. Yeah, let me make sure we have enough. Here you go. Listen, let's just take a few moments with the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Here you go. Praise you, Lord. Here you go. Just enough. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Listen, this week, let's spend time with Him. Even if it's only 5 minutes, set aside 5 minutes. We're adults, we can do that. But you know what? As we spend time with Him, I think you might be surprised. You might see that the Lord starts working in your lives, and it might go a little bit longer. It's not sacrilegious to say do five. I learned that at Bible school. It sounded crazy beforehand. Set a clock if you need to. Take an alarm clock, set 5 minutes if we're out of the discipline. Say, I'm going to pray and seek God until this alarm rings. And if we do that, we might find it'll ring and we'll shut it off and keep going. But sometimes when we pray, I know how it is, the devil wants to distract us. Why? Because prayer changes lives. The devil wants to distract us and have us look at the clock. What do we have to do? You set the alarm, little trick, you don't have to look at the clock. I know what time it is. I have plenty of time. Lord, I need you. You can cross that off your mind. Another good handy thing to do, bring a notepad, bring a pen. Because as we're seeking God, I know how it works. We're on our knees. God, I need you more than anything. God, I need you. Lord, we're running out of laundry detergent. I need to remember to get that from ShopRite today. And then we're starting to pray. Oh man, I need to remember the soap. My wife's going to kill me if I don't get the soap. Paper, pen, laundry detergent. Thank you, Lord, for reminding me I'm seeking you again. You understand? When things come up that shouldn't belong in our prayers, we think of things to do. Jot a note, set it down, get back to seeking the Lord. A practical tip that I find that works great. If you'll see in prayer, I'll grab my Palm Pilot and I'll type, ding, 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 thank you, Lord. We'll just go back to praying. Because it's fine. It's all good, but if you don't do that, you're going to be thinking about that item your whole time. But let's spend time with God. Can we do that? That will sharpen us and we will change lives. This week, my prayer is that you would be sharp. That whatever obstacle would come in your life this week, through the power of the Spirit of God, we can chop that tree down. You understand? We can chop that wall down. Listen, you can do it. You can do it. If my people, Jesus is saying we're His people. If my people who are called by my name will do this, I'm going to do all these things for you. I'm going to bless you and heal you. Jesus is wanting to work in our lives. You can do it. You can do it. You are a child of the God. You are a child of God. John 1:12, to those who believed in Him, to those who called upon His name, He gave the right to become children of God. Our dad in heaven wants to bless us. The word really means our daddy, our Abba Father, our dearest intimate dad. If you don't have an earthly dad or if you have one that wasn't really in that image, listen, the Heavenly Father is good. And He wants to pour down His love on you. Our daddy wants to work in our lives. All we need to do is get real with Him and say, God, I really want You. And through Him, we have the victory. Through Him, we're sharp. Through Him, next week when we walk through that door, we'll be ready to worship. You understand? Because we've had the victory in our lives. Let's pray. Jesus, I thank You, Lord, for this great day that You've given us. Lord, I thank You for this emphasis upon getting right with You and getting into Your Word and staying sharp in the presence of the Almighty. Lord, I pray for my friends and family today that this week would be a week where they would be sharper than they ever have been. Sharper to come against barriers in life. Sharper to come against bondages. Sharper with hearing Your voice. For my friends here today who have real barriers, Lord. For those today who in their heart right now they're thinking, that sounds good. But You don't know, Pastor Jim, You don't know the thing I'm facing. You don't know the thing in my life. Lord, for my friends here today who are saying that, I pray for a special anointing upon their life. Lord, we don't need to know all the details, but I pray for a special anointing. A special anointing. Hallelujah. May Your Spirit strengthen, comfort, and lead us, God. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, help us, Lord, to see You and to see the victory through Christ. Set free. In Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. I encourage you, spend time with the Lord this week. Listen, tonight, if you're free, we're doing a video series we started last week from Jim Cimbala of Brooklyn Tabernacle and their church. It was fantastic. It was awesome. We had prayer time last week. It features a little bit of teaching from Pastor Jim Cimbala and a testimony of God changing lives. You were here, right, Rudy? Powerful, wasn't it? Very powerful. A changed life. You get to hear the testimony. We'll spend some time in prayer. If you're able and you're free tonight, I want to encourage you to come out. I think it'll really strengthen your faith and be a blessing to you. And again, Thursday night, we're meeting with Malaga Assembly here. They're coming here, and we're going to get together and pray. The Lord is good. As we go forward in victory. Amen? Even if I put you to sleep, listen, we go forward in strength. We go forward. Wake up, Melissa. Wake up. We go forward in strength. We go forward in victory. Because of us? Because of me? No. Because of Jesus. Amen? In the name of Jesus, we have the victory. And pasta is served in the back.